Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Monday here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, we've been talking a lot about the Titans through the first hour. I think there's a lot of excitement around this town. Look, we're excited to see sports in general. I understand that. But I think there's a lot of hype around this team in terms of what they could be. Maybe the expectations are to get back to the AFC title game, take that next step. It feels good to be excited about Titans football. If you've watched the Titans for any length of time, this past decade largely has been rough. And it feels good to be heading into a year where there are some actual legitimate expectations for this group.
Yes. You know, and I think back, I think it's 3 years, right? 3 years ago, I think it was Peter King said, number four roster in the NFL, yeah. Something like that. So that year, there were huge, huge expectations coming off that big turnaround in 2016, yep. The way Mariota played before he got hurt, of course. And interestingly, that season was actually painful for a lot of it, but it did also feature a playoff win in Kansas City, you know. But I think this is the most excitement since then, and maybe it eclipses it. I mean, coming off an AFC championship game, I guess it should.
Yeah, I mean, and Tannehill is a big part of it, obviously. But Derrick Henry, it's been interesting to watch, like, just how much of a star he's turned into. Because we've noted around here, I think, for a while that he was going to be pretty good. The potential was there. And then he just exploded. He, you know, the last four games of the season, a couple seasons ago, he carried it through last year, was outstanding. And then I think became a true league superstar in the playoffs. That's when the whole league said, oh my goodness, look at this guy. Like, you just can't tackle him. And now he's the face of the franchise for this group. And I think expectations there again, I don't know if the bar should be that he's going to lead the NFL in rushing, but you got to feel good about getting 1,300, 1,400 yards out of Derrick Henry if he stays healthy. And that ground game is, when he's on, it's virtually unstoppable. I mean, you have to put 10 guys in the box almost to slow him down.
Which is still, it's been long enough now that it's not surprising anymore, but again, it was not that long ago.
Right.
And which actually came up this weekend because Matt LaFleur of the Packers is talking about, did you see this? Talking
yes.
about A.J. Dillon?
I saw him.
You know, we've not seen, this is a quote from Matt LaFleur. We've not seen a running back built like that, not in my career that I've been around, okay? Just fine. I mean, you know, he may not be built exactly like Derrick Henry, but of course then Stillman goes off on, like, you didn't play him at all. You know, like Matt LaFleur, people want to blame someone who left. So Matt LaFleur gets the blame for not.
LaFleur's on my list right now, but yeah.
Yeah, well, right. You're, as a Packers fan, you may not love Matt LaFleur, although I thought he had a decent debut season.
He did.
But the blaming of him only for that is not. It's I'm going to fight against this till the end of time, and Stillman is like the number one guy doing this stuff. It's like, dude, Mike Vrabel was a head coach.
That's true.
John Robinson was a GM, and, you know, NFL reporters were reporting that Derrick Henry was being shopped around to some extent around the trading deadline that year. Derrick Henry was number three in the depth chart for the New England game. That's not like Matt LaFleur taking over the entire organization saying, shut up, Vrabel. Henry stinks. I'm sitting him down. And then Vrabel's begging for, no. I mean, everyone had the same opinion about him, or everyone was down on him to some extent, and then he turned it around. I mean, the guy has said it himself. It's come out of Derrick Henry's mouth how many times?
No question about it. Let's bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey now on the line with us. Corey, what's going on, my man?
I'm just letting everybody down one day at a time.
That's okay. Me too. That's what we've been doing all my life.
That's actually a good life motto. That's
pretty good.
I might adopt that as my life motto, Corey.
So, Corey, we've been talking about the Titans the entire show so far, and the offense, I think, is looking really good right now. We expected that. And a guy specifically that I wanted to ask you about, Adam Humphries. How much of an impact do you think Adam Humphries can have with this group, assuming that this year he's able to remain healthy for the most part? Because we didn't see that a ton last year.
No, I mean, you know, we expected him to be, you know, that move the chains guy for the Titans. And, you know, he never really emerged as quite as big of a target as we expected him. But, you know, I think it's possible we expected too much from him. I mean, they brought him in here to be what? The number two, number three receiver? They didn't bring him in here to be the number one. I mean, he's never been a guy who's had a 1,000-yard season. Now, they paid him $9 million. They paid him a ton of money. But if he can be that move-the-chains guy and a steady target underneath and once in a while make plays down the field, he can help. But, I mean, let's be realistic. Who do you want the ball in the hands of? Do you want the ball in his hands or do you want the ball in A.J. Brown's hands? Do you want the ball in his hands or do you want the ball in Derrick Henry's hands? And to some extent, do you want the ball in his hands or do you want it in Jonnu Smith's hands? I mean, these are more explosive players. And so I'm not saying he doesn't have a role and he can't get the ball, because he does. But to me, you know, as far as, you know, the options of who you want, you know, in the playmaking category, you know, he's not one or two necessarily, or even three.
I agree with that, Corey. I will say, you know, just you got to always take practice with a grain of salt, but he does look lethal with that change of direction. I mean, you talk about a great.
We saw that last year.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about a great look for a guy like Christian Fulton. You know, hey, go see if you can deal with this guy in that little space and see if you can, anticipate what he's going to do. He looks awfully good. And you do the thing with Humphries that I think is encouraging is, first of all, he missed, you know, the last four games of the regular season. He was hurt. You have I believe it was an ankle, which is like for a guy like that, it's just ankles aren't good for any football player, but like, the guy who does what he does, and if that limits him at all, that's just going to really take away his effectiveness. But then you saw those fourth down conversions at Kansas City, for example. You know, if a guy like that's on the same page with a QB, he's going to be that chain mover, like you said. You know, he may not have huge numbers, but just to have that in your back pocket, I think, is a nice thing for an offense. My question for you, Corey, is we were talking about the receiver room earlier. I mean, I think Khalif Raymond looks really good. You know, you have Humphries. Cam Batson's healthy now. Rashard Davis is an off-season award winner. And I'm just wondering, like, how many little receivers can you have in one receiving room? And how important is it for this team to find a big-bodied receiver, you know, that can come in and at least be, you know, a four or a five after those obvious top three?
Well, I mean, I think you've got four pretty much locked down, and probably the best four, well, best three. The best three they've had since I've been here, which has been since 2003, you could argue this group and the group with Derek Mason, Drew Bennett, and Justin McCarron, you know, that this is the best three since then. And so, and I hate to say you don't really want those guys off the field very much, but, you know, one of those guys – has to emerge as a fifth option, you know, for depth. And, you know, what do we always say? They got to be able to play special teams. They got to be willing to play special teams. I mean, you know, Tajay Sharp's not here anymore. So basically somebody's fighting for his job. And, you know, I don't care if he's little or if he's big. I care if he can play. And, you know, because at this point, you're looking at a guy, like I said, who's going to play special teams and may get on the field some. So whichever guy has the most upside and can contribute on special teams is the one, you know, that I'm going after. You know, I know they've liked Cam Batson in the past, but, I mean, this is what, year three we're talking about Cam Batson? And what have we seen him do? Not a whole heck of a lot. I think he had a couple catches against the Patriots. And, frankly, if the Titans' fifth receiver's on the field, it's because one of those other guys is hurt. And, you know, I don't like that thought very much. So, you know, to me, it's about upside and it's about special teams. So, you know, I don't want to say that none of those guys get me excited, but none of those guys get me very excited.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us. So, Corey, we're trying to identify, like, what exactly should the expectations for this Titans team be? Because I think some fans look at it. You made it to the AFC title game last year. They just automatically take that next step. You get to the Super Bowl, what have you. It's all with the Predators as well. After they made their run in 2017, the expectation from the fan base was, all right, well, let's take that next step and win the Super Bowl. Obviously, it's not that easy. Where would you put the bar of success or failure at for the Titans this season?
Well, they've had four winning seasons in a row, and they've had playoff wins in two of those seasons. So I think it's safe to have an expectation of a winning season of this team, and I think it's also safe to expect them to compete for the division championship. And if they're not competing for the division championship, you know, I think that that's a disappointment. Now, when you get to the playoffs, it's about matchups and it's about, you know, who's healthy and how you're playing at that point. So you'd like to see them do that. So I think those are the expectations for me: compete for the division and get into the playoffs. And we'll see, you know, what kind of happens from there. But, you know, I've got concerns about the defense. I mean, I've got concerns that it's not as good as it was last year. And, you know, that's dampening my expectations some at this point.
Yeah, and we've talked many times. We'll talk many times again until we know exactly what that pass rushing situation is. But Vic Beasley right now, we don't know when he'll be back out there. DeAndre Walker is getting a serious look, and it's good for them to have him back. And of course, there's that name.
We don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, we've literally never seen him.
Right. So the guy, there's some noise, Corey, about Jadeveon Clowney sitting this season, which to me, I think there's zero chance. That would be utterly just, first of all, giving up money, but, you know, also you're just getting a year older with the same questions with a cap maybe going down. Like, there's absolutely no sense in it, but I guess for me, I'm kind of thinking Jadeveon Clowney signs with someone like about 3 days before the opener. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think if he's not going to get the money he wants, he's going to ride it out as long as he can. And if you think about it, you know, with the Titans, his leverage position just gets better every day. I mean, you know, every day that Vic Beasley doesn't set foot on the practice field, every day that Kamale Correa now doesn't set foot on the practice field, you know, looks better and better for Jadeveon Clowney. You know, the Beasley thing, and, you know, are we overblowing it? Maybe, but they gave this guy $9.5 million, and as far as we know, he's healthy and can't set foot on the practice field, and we have no idea why. You know, I know Alan Bell from 24/7 said something about him getting more time to do cardio. Oh, how much cardio does he need? I mean, how long has he been on NFI now? We're on, like, what, day five or six or something?
Last week, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is it's ridiculous. He's a professional athlete, okay? So, you know, this is one of those times where knowledge is power, because all it's doing is it's angering your fan base. Because I don't know about your guys and what your Facebook and Twitter reads from your fans, your Titan fans that you deal with. Mine are angry. Mine are angry and disappointed. And, you know, the team, you know, I know, like, Mike Vrabel tends to think it's none of anybody's business, but your fans are frustrated and angry, and knowledge is power. So unless it's a bad reason that you don't want to get out there, I think you would actually be helping Vic Beasley out if you would explain to people just what the heck is going on.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Corey, thanks, man. We appreciate it as always.
All right, you guys have a fantabulous Monday. Looking forward to practicing pads.
You know, that's right.
The first time they put on pads since the AFC Championship game.
It's hard to believe.
Man, real football. Let's do it.
Yeah, crazy.
Thanks, Corey.
All right, bye-bye.
When we come back, we will dive into some Vanderbilt football. How much pressure is truly on Derek Mason this season? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.